Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Cheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, poet Thomas Gannon Hamilton. So these days, poetry, music, dance, theatre, visual arts, and other traditional media coexist with digital technologies. Where do you think this relationship is headed?
We're at the juncture right now. We're a generation of people who have been connected to traditions in all of the arts. That means these have thousands of years of development behind them. So we are unpacking what we are and what we've been, everything that goes together to make the entire gestalt that we represent is going to be articulated and is increasingly being articulated with the digital arts. They shouldn't and can't exist in separate solitudes.
Well, okay, if that's the case, then do you think they'll be overtaken?
The answer to that is absolutely not. There has never been an historical pretext for that. In fact, what we see is something entirely surprising. It wasn't until Gutenberg and the printing press that people actually formally studied rhetoric and oratory. So the act, the speech act, was really understood for the first time in a studied way and instructed after literature came in. So it did not supersede the oral poetic world. It made more of it. It amplified it. And we see the same today. People's interest in literature is actually burgeoning while the electronic media continue. So the way we speak is going to be influenced by the technology. There's a texting generation. But that has an effect on the way I make art, too. There was one work of art that I put out that actually has subtitles. Nobody 30 or 40 or 50 years ago would think that we would ever be returning to subtitles, but because we have a texting generation, it's now possible to put plates of text and subtitles in audiovisual productions.
And it's also possible to get it to a much wider audience.
You bet. And, you know, there are filmmakers, there are people in literature, there are people in all of the arts who were asked to get on the bandwagon when the old Boys Network broke down in 2007, 2008, when Time Life Warner effectively ceased to exist as a recording institution. When they went belly up, a number of interesting things happened. All sorts of people who had been left outside of that became independent producers and found that they had all kinds of traction globally. They had people phoning them up. They had hits in different places of the world. They could travel to those places of the world and collaborate. I think we're into a point where we can really begin to use the net, and we're just beginning to mm-hmm. use the net in a way where we're really communicating with one another in a rich way. We're on radio right now, and radio is a medium for me. I've always been fascinated by radio. I was immersed in radio. And then when I grew up, I came to learn that all of these places around the world, their culture was transformed through radio.
Mm-hmm. Right? And I think it's a perfect venue, too. I think of when I was first exploring poetry, mm-hmm. and you would read it on the page, and because it's not something you're familiar with, it doesn't give you quite as much as what's in there. Mm-hmm. But to hear the poet read it was a whole different experience.
For sure.
So I think we're going to hear your poetry, and lots more people are hearing it than would otherwise be able.
And it's the original hands-off device, right? Because you turn the radio on and you can do any number of other great things while the radio is on and still partake in it fully, right?
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, let's talk about your poetry a little more. John B. Lee, in his review of Panoptic, says, "Hamilton rewards reading and rereading. The music sustains and the effort rewards." But as we're about to listen to your poems for the first time, please give us a short introduction to the book.
Okay, well, I have a forthcoming book. It's in the John B. Lee Signature Series. Every year, he selects three poets to be represented. And the Signature Series itself has featured a number of great Canadian poets. I noticed that I'm sharing the bill as well with, among others, Robert Sfard, who I read for the first time in a volume published in 1969. So you can imagine how much in the same fold you know, we feel. John B. Lee, to tell you about him, he's one of, he's probably Canada's greatest living poet. In my opinion, he is. He's so prolific, and yet at the same time, the quality of what he does is uniformly great. And when he shows up to read, people take notice, they hear it. Panoptic is a breadth, it's a kind of a taste of poetry from the smorgasbord of poetries, because I'm influenced by a great many factors in the world. And not all of it poetic, obviously.
Okay.
Right? So I'm inspired by pretty much everything, right?
Well, that gives you plenty of scope.
It's more like being in the mode. And being in the mode for me, my mode of existence is compositional. That means I'm gathering and I'm arranging. Gathering and arranging at the same time.
Would you share some with us, please?
I'll read you one. The beginning of Panoptic. It has to do with my birth. Call. It will become clear what a call is. How apt for my mother to labor in pre-dawn hours as bakers do. At 5, that Wednesday morn, a rather small panino, her 5.5-pound son was delivered wrapped. One in 80,000 who wear the amniotic sac upon arrival. Rare, yes, to enter life in call. More so to be born fully enrobed. For a few thousand years or so, folk ascribed good fortune to those who made their debut membrane clad. Floodwaters would engulf, but it seems they had the otter's aquatic knack, which enabled them to brave white-capped seas. Deep in dreams, they keep drifting back to the Lupercal, the she-wolf's lair, her fabled cave. Several seconds postpartum, released into the now less common clear, fresh air, twice given birth. Months before the nice priest immersed me, 4 years before the first cosmonaut left Earth, well in advance of his liftoff, prior to his re-entry and splashdown, I had already made my entrance.
Thank you, Tom. Can you do one more for us, perhaps?
I'm going to read something about the cessation of life. I've lost a lot of friends in the last 1 or 2 years. Because we are an arts community, we're aware of one another's presence, and we celebrate one another. So when one of us is gone, we are in grief, in a state of grief, right? Anyway, rather than claim this poem for any one of the people who we love that we lost, let's think about it in terms of the epidemic, if you will, or the endemic intensity of cancer. Requiem. Your barge rocks a bit as it burns at sunset out on the lake. So far, I can't make it out. So large, fathomless are the clouds and my concerns with our loss. I'm not among the drive-through mourners, their jiffy grief, disposable shrouds. I take no souvenir from your stuff, no keepsake from your few belongings. It's enough to recall your brow, furrowed at the news, your end too quick to ponder, too ponderous to call merciful. You, the kind, easygoing kind, least easy to let go. I saw you drop half yourself, calling it goodbye. All hope you'd recover, gone south, past the farms, over to your palliative outpost. When all talk was done, and your mouth no longer could request a clean cloth to wipe its corners, there should have been the gentlest hand holding yours, holding you strong arms that if they rocked you forever, couldn't rock you enough.
Thank you, Tom. Very, very quickly, Tom, where can listeners buy your collections?
You could get this directly from me. There is a warehouse, but it's best to get it directly from me. You can text or phone me at 416-992-0908, and then we could set up mail delivery for your copy of my book.
Okay.
I'm also available by emailing me at drtomhamilton@gmail.com. That's drtomhamilton@gmail.com, all one word.
Formal thanks to Tom Gannon Hamilton for coming in today and discussing his poetry and reading from his two collections, El Murillo and Panoptic. And to connect with us, listeners, to send your comments, queries, or suggestions, please visit our website, wordonthehills.com. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again for another program next week, right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.